Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. Today is Thursday, July 10th, 2014, and we're going to be talking about... I just heard a noise. Goodness. Anyway, we're going to be talking about clothing today. We're going to be talking about how to choose toxic-free clothing, but also how to still look stylish when you're wearing toxic-free and otherwise green clothing, because there's more to green clothing than just being toxic. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. But mostly, of course, on the show, we're interested in our toxic exposures and how to remove them. We're going to talk a lot about fashion today too. And I'm smiling to myself because I know earlier in my life, I used to be quite a fashionable aware person and always had to wear the latest thing, et cetera, until I started, thinking about what those clothes are made of and wanting to only wear natural fibers. Now I live in Florida. I used to live in the San Francisco Bay Area, but now I live in Florida, and fashion kind of goes out the window here because, it's so hot and you're just sweating all day long, if you're out, if you're not in an air-conditioned building. And so when I moved here, I totally changed everything I wore to things that were, everything had to be made out of cotton or linen because that's the most comfortable thing to wear in the heat. And it also needed to just get thrown in the washing machine because I would literally have to change my clothes two or three times a day if I was not in an air-conditioned environment because you just perspire and perspire and perspire. Now I spend a lot of time indoors in the air conditioning, but I still, I mean, my basic wardrobe is cotton tank tops and cotton capri pants. And I just have those two items in every color I can get them in. And I just have, I just mix and match them in any possible way. And that's about how other people dress here too. But we're going to talk about all kinds of fashion, style, and toxic-free, how we can wear clothing that's toxic-free. My guest is Greta Egan. She is the author of Wear No Evil, How to Change the World with Your Wardrobe. And she, shortly after graduating from the London College of Fashion, she founded FashionMeGreen.com. It's a sustainable fashion awareness project that's now a popular blog. And she and her blog have become leading sources for information on sustainable style, green beauty, and eco-chic decor. She's contributed to publications in print and online, including Glamour Magazine, Lucky, and the Huffington Post, and has collaborated with brands such as Kate Spade, Eileen Fisher, The Outnet, Refinery 29, and many more. Welcome to the show, Greta.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. So tell us, I just gave a little introduction, but tell us your story of how you went from being just a regular fashion-oriented person to being concerned about these issues.
Yeah, I always like to say that I was a fashionista before an environmentalist, and that's the truth. Originally, when I went to the London College of Fashion, I went to study fashion promotion and marketing, and already had this sort of innate passion and love of fashion, which I think a lot of people who are in the fashion industry have, and what drives them to be, you know, in the industry itself. And as I learned more, I mean, it was literally through one of my first courses, which was the history of fashion. I learned more about the democratization of fashion, excuse me, and the industrialization, and how the Industrial Revolution really had an impact on fashion production and mass fashion production, because what we had originally was, you know, more limited resources, and we would, in the sense of what we had available, and you found that families would repair pieces of clothing and pass them down, and they'd make them last as long as they could. and with the spinning jenny and different technologies that came out of the Industrial Revolution, and then obviously now we've just, you know, proliferated that more and more, is that we really can produce fashion so much more quickly, and it's kind of bred this thing that we're all kind of aware of now called fast fashion, or even what people are calling throwaway fashion. And that was kind of at the height of when I was studying in London, is the fast fashion model was really coming into full steam, and people were buying a top and wearing it for a night out and not even bothering to wash it. They were done with it because it was such a cheap piece of fashion that it didn't really warrant a wash and another mm-hmm. wear. They were satisfied with the one wear. And that was just really, really disturbing to me. And I had a real moral conflict, and I had to sit myself down and have an honest talk about, you know, if I wanted to participate in the fashion industry, could I do it and still, you know, have my conscience and my morals upheld? And that's what really led me down the path of finding this alternative way of participating in fashion and what was pretty much termed, you know, corporate social responsibility for fashion, and then led me down the rabbit hole of what we now call eco-fashion, which is a more conscious production, use phase, and discarding of the clothing that we use and put next to our bodies.
So do you consider eco-fashion to still be fashion in the sense that, like, if you were to ask me what is the definition of fashion, I would say that it, as you say, the industry, the fashion industry, I think of it as being an industry, and that that like any other industry, the idea is to get people to continue to buy the product, whether they need it or not. And so there's always new fashion that comes in, you know, something being in fashion or out of fashion. Mm-hmm. And that if you are, like I used to be, you had to be wearing the right thing at the right time that the fashion industry was telling you to wear. And I know that I went through a period of time when I started being aware of toxics, where I said, okay, so clothes don't have to be about fashion. They should be about keeping my body warm and looking nice. And so for me, part of the question about what I wear is it appropriate, like I was saying in the introduction, that I dress suitably for Florida. You know, and here we need to have clothes that we can throw in the washing machine as many times a day as we need to. And that I'm not concerned about what fashion is anymore because I'm dressing for my place. And, so how does eco fashion as a movement include things like buying fewer clothing and considering things like timeless design and those things, as well as what the materials are?
Right. So, and you brought up a couple of really good points, and one is the definition of fashion. And Miuccia Prada, who's the founder of Prada, and a very visionary designer, she tends to lead the way in the fashion industry. A lot of what she puts out, other designers follow, and she does kind of perpetuate these new styles, as you were saying, that do change. And she said that in a society like that we're in today, a global society where everything is moving so quickly, that fashion and clothing are actually communication. It's just a visual language that we communicate to other people. You know, what we wear is a reflection of how we feel, maybe how we feel comfortable in what we're wearing, or like you were saying, if we're dressing for the environment. And I think that the goal is to get to a place where you're not really dressing for everyone else. Like you were saying, you know, if you weren't wearing the right thing at the right time, maybe you felt differently. And, you know, if you're living in New York City and you're working in the fashion industry, there certainly is a certain amount of pressure to wear certain fashionable pieces. But I think the goal, and as I've gotten older and I've been working in the fashion industry for a number of years now, is to find the pieces that actually communicate to you just really intrinsically how you feel. It's your self-expression. And I think that's something that we get over time. Yes. And then from there, you know, there might be an experimental phase where you're trying different things out. And when people move through that phase, I actually really suggest to my clients a lot of the time, if you want to try a new trend, and fashion is very cyclical, if you want to try a new trend, go to a consignment store. You can usually find something that, if that trend has been out for a little while, there's something that you can buy, or it's likely something that's come back around that's already been out in the world at some point or another. And you can then, you know, try that trend out. And if you like it, you know what to invest in. You know it works for your body. You know that the colorway works for your skin tone, whatever it is. And then you can start to make investments into pieces that last, you know, longer, that are higher quality, and make up a wardrobe that really reflects who you are and the environment that you're in.
Great. We need to go to break, but we'll talk about more about all these things when we come back. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Greta Egan, author of Wear No Evil, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Greta Egan, author of Wear No Evil, and we're talking about everything having to do with clothing and fashion and how it affects our health and the environment. Greta, you have so much information in your book, but you've also, I think that this is a good workbook for somebody who is making a transition from having what is the common sort of wardrobe that we have in the world today and wanting to take a look at the things that have health and environmental effects, that you have a process that you've outlined of how to go about doing that, which I think is a good one. And it's pretty much the sort of process that I went through when I was making these changes myself. You have something called the Integrity Index that you put together. And I'd like us to talk about some of those points that you have there. But first, I'd like to say I want to talk about viewpoint for a minute, because I think that everybody needs to have their own viewpoint about what is most important to them. And I think that you say that in your book, too. and I know that your book is written from a environmental and ethical viewpoint. And so I noticed one thing that I just wanted to mention, because when I'm looking at your Integrity Index, the first thing that I would say for people to look is different than the first thing that you say, mm-hmm. which is not, it, neither one is wrong or right. It's just a different viewpoint. The first thing that I would say to people to look for is to look for fabric finishes, like permanent press, or no iron, because that is made with a formaldehyde resin, and you're just going to be breathing formaldehyde all day long if you wear a permanent press shirt. The first thing that you talk about is to look at the dyes. So would you tell us about the impact of dyes? Because even though from my viewpoint, because I'm looking at health effects first, from my viewpoint, I'm not so concerned about dyes, but tell us about the environmental effects of dyes and why you put that first.
And just to give an overview, so like you said, a lot of people, it's music to my ears to hear that this comes off as a workbook for people making a transition, because, you know, there are a lot of people who are making changes and being very conscious in their purchases for food, or even the sort of transportation they take, or even, you know, the sort of cleaning products they bring into their home. But when you look at the fashion industry, a lot of people don't know that it's actually the second most polluting industry worldwide behind petroleum. The effects of the fashion industry are huge. And actually, the dye process, that cumulative effect of being such a polluting industry, about 20 to 25% of that comes from the dyeing process. And that does kind of actually tie into what you were talking about with, you know, these different fixants and treatments that they apply to fabrics and fibers, you know, to get them to be wrinkle-free and that sort of thing. Well, the same applies to retaining a color and the vibrancy of that color. You know, and if you have a piece of clothing that's hot orange, that's not necessarily a natural color that exists and that would, you know, be steadfast wash after wash unless there were some chemicals involved. And the EPA has actually, you know, identified some of those chemicals that are being used as perfluorinated compounds, or what they call PCFs. And those PCFs have actually been identified by the EPA as carcinogenic. So it's a really hard and kind of murky place where there isn't a lot of clean and clear information about what are these chemicals that we're using and that we're being exposed to. But the reality is that there are a lot of chemicals, from the dyes that are used to the fixants, you know, that we were talking about for certain properties of your fabrics, but also even the synthetic fabrics that are being produced. So if it's a polyester or a rayon or a viscose, you know, all of those are synthetic materials that are made either from something like a petroleum or from a plant-based fiber that's been treated, chemically treated to become a fiber. And those are, you know, quite toxic, and they have been shown to off-gas, you know, carbon and nitrogen and sulfur dioxide. And like you said, you know, you're exposed to that. Not only is it next to your skin, and maybe some people are sensitive enough to have a rash where they can see that they're sensitive to those chemicals, but we're inhaling them, right? They're close to us, and we're breathing them in.
But how now? To me, not having as much inside information as you have as a consumer, all I can do is I can look at a dye and say, well, I'm pretty sure that that's a synthetic dye because it's color fast, or I'm pretty sure it's a natural dye because this was made in India. And if I put it in the wash, everything's going to, and it's red, everything's going to turn pink because it's all going to come out in the wash. How can a consumer make a decision to have a more eco-friendly dye on their, how would they even know?
Well, so there are three levels. There's the sort of normal dyes that that are quite toxic, and they're kind of what we first developed and started using when we started mass producing fashion. And then we kind of started to look at it and say, oh, well, this feels really wasteful, and wow, we're turning rivers different colors, like you already alluded to. You know, something made in China, they've talked about, you can always tell what season it is, you know, fashion season, because the rivers and the off the water coming out of the factories and running into the different streams and rivers actually changes that color of what they're using. And so we started to pay more attention to the impact of that. And so people, you know, different companies and brands have actually gone towards using what they call low-impact dyes. So you have normal dyes, and then you have low-impact dyes, and then you have natural dyes. Natural dyes come from natural sources. They're not synthetic, so they might come from minerals or vegetables, and they're kind of the more, or even mud, you know, they're the more traditional ways that we would have dyed clothing back in the days when we didn't have these chemical cocktails. Right. But the good news about the low-impact dyes, and they're actually one of the more eco-friendly options that we have, is that they're just a smarter dye. They use less water. They aren't using those fixants or mordants that make the color stay. So they're a smarter, more evolved dye. They're not as pure as a natural dye. The unfortunate thing is that a natural dye actually still uses some of those mordants and quite a lot of water. So it's a bit of a trade-off, and you have to kind of decide what's most important to you.
Good. We need to take another break, and we'll be right back to talk more about fashion and clothing with Greta Egan, author of Wear No Evil. And her websites are fashionmegreen.com and gretaegan.com, so you can go there and find out more. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Greta Egan. She's the author of Wear No Evil, and she also has a blog called Fashion Me Green at fashionmegreen.com. She knows a lot about textiles and clothing, and has this wonderful book as a transition, a guide to how you can transition from the clothes you're wearing now into things that are better for your health and the environment. So another major thing that I want to talk about, Greta, is the transition in looking at fabrics, because I think that fabrics is a place where anybody can start. They can look on the label and see what fabric the garment is made from, and then choose better fabrics. So let's talk about that for a bit. And then there's so much more out of your book that I want to get to.
I know it can be overwhelming at times, but that's why I wrote a book.
Right. We obviously can't get to everything, but I want to get to the major points here. So the way I look at it is that the worst fabrics are synthetics. And so we should be able to recognize what the synthetic fabrics are and avoid them. And then the next step is to just go to a natural fiber like cotton, linen, silk, wool. And then the next step is to go organic. And I think you would agree with those three steps. So
let me just
jump to organic, and let's talk about that. Because I think that for me, the biggest problem is just not being able to find organic clothes in the stores. And that you can order things online. And there's a lot of resources actually to order things online, but I can't try them on. And there's also sometimes that I think that things are changing, but for a long time, there wasn't much style in those clothes, that you could order online or color or things like that. And so I remember ordering, wanting organic clothes. And so I ordered, unbleached, undyed sweat clothes. And that wasn't what I wanted to wear every day. Mm. So where are we now about organic and having organic becoming more mainstream?
Well, we are in a good place, I'm happy to say. And, you know, eco-fashion as a category where maybe it's this more conscious clothing has a bad rap to live down, which is that, you know, it used to be very beige and frumpy and like you said, not necessarily the styles that you wanted to be wearing. And that was really true for a while. And part of the reason why that happened is that we had people who were, environmentalist or maybe more environmentally conscious making the clothing rather than designers making the clothing. The good news is that there's been a huge shift and even all the way down to the level of where these designers are coming out of their design schools, and sustainability and the sort of broader education about the impact of the fashion industry is part of the curriculum. So that's where we're headed, which is great. Yeah. And in the immediate, you know, effect of where we are right now, and we have bigger brands who are taking on the responsibility of offering, you know, different lines, maybe their little capsule collections that are made specifically from organic fibers. So a good example of this is H&M, actually, which is a more affordable fashion brand, retailer. And they actually, for the past 2 years, have been the number one buyer of organic cotton. And they've made a pledge that by 2020, they will be producing, you know, all of their garments that would be using a cotton will be using an organic cotton. And that's huge. And when you see big retailers like that, and I know Walmart also has their organic cotton sort of more workout clothes that they've been doing. And when you see big retailers like this get in on the game, they really move the needle because the supply and demand is so big that it really does, incentivize these different farms and farmers who are producing cotton conventionally to switch to organic cotton because the need is there and the supply and demand is there. So that's the good news. I would also say that there are lots of brands, you know, and as I mentioned, designers who are now getting started in producing their lines where that's part of their DNA. You know, they don't want to produce a fashion label or a collection without using more sustainable fabrics. And so we have some different brands. There's a new one called Be Good Clothing, and I think their website is just begoodclothing.com. And they're essentially taking the Everlane model, which, is to make these sort of timeless basics, T-shirts and button-downs and these sort of staples for your wardrobe. And they're making them with organic cotton and more sustainable fibers. And they're able to offer it at a more affordable price because there is no middleman. They're selling direct to consumer. And right. You mentioned that, you know, the problem with ordering online is that you don't get to try it on. The good news is that a lot of these brands and now have a great, you know, amazing shipping policies where you can order a couple of sizes and send things back and they don't charge you shipping. And so you can kind
That's
of figure
very
it
good.
Out.
Yeah, that is very good because we, you know, I look and I go, well, is this going to fit me? Is how's it going to look? And I don't want to pay double shipping for something that I don't want. And so I'm trying to figure out like logistically how I can, because I'm 100% behind organic fabrics for clothing. Yet I think in all the different areas of my life that clothing is the area where I'm most behind, because I know that, like, for me, if I'm wearing my little tank tops and my little capri pants, I'm not having a big toxic exposure myself. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's a big environmental effect for these little clothings that I'm not being affected by directly. And so it makes it more difficult, I think, for people who are more health oriented than environmental oriented, even though I know that there's a big environmental effect of me wearing these cotton clothes. It's harder to spend that extra money or go through the extra effort. And, you know, when I can just go buy a t-shirt, a tank top for $8 as I'm walking down the mall, you know, that's on sale.
Right.
And so I think that let's go on to talk about your book, because you do have a very good process here. So you have something after the integrity index, you talk about the diamond diagram and your wear no evil system, and you talk about going through your closet. And that's exactly what I did. I went through my closet and I put everything that was a natural fiber. This was 35 years ago. I put everything that was a natural fiber in one pile and everything that was a synthetic fiber in another pile. And I had no clothes left to wear. And at that time, in 1978, we were in the midst of leisure suits and polyester. And it was very difficult to find anything but a t-shirt and jeans to wear that was not synthetic. But that's not the case now. That's not the case now. So tell us about your process that you describe in the book. After the break. Oh, my God. Here we are.
Okay, sure. Yep.
After the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And we're talking today with Greta Egan, author of Wear No Evil. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Greta Egan, author of Wear No Evil. Her websites are fashionmegreen.com and gretaegan.com. Okay, Greta, so tell us about making these decisions, about your diamond, how you make decisions about choosing products.
Sure, and just to follow up from what we were saying right before we went to break, I just want to say I know that it can be challenging to make the commitment to buy a certain way, in your case maybe organic, but I just want to remind everyone that every time we buy something, we vote with our dollars, and we tell those manufacturers and retailers and brands that that's what we want. So it adds up, and it does have an impact.
I totally agree.
So it's worth the effort.
Yes, it is. It really is. It really is. My point was, in the past when I've attempted to do that, I couldn't find anything that I wanted to wear. That I could wear. Part of it had to do with size, and part of it had to do just with, you know, that sometimes I need to wear things other than t-shirts.
Right. Well, that's part of what I actually outlined in my book. And you've mentioned already that there are these kind of pieces to the Wear No Evil system. The first being the integrity index, which is, I outlined 16 different ways that you can look at a piece of fashion and decide, you know, on its eco-credentials, as I call them. And it might be ethical, or it might be that it's non-toxic or sustainable, or socially linked. And there are all these different ways of participating. And what we do is you get an overview of all those different ways, and what you've already alluded to, you know, some of them are more important to you that might be different that are important to me. And that's kind of where we are. You know, there's no right or wrong way of doing this, but it's about the individual. So in that sort of exposure to these different eco-credentials, you as a consumer and an individual get to decide what's important to you. And then what I do is I you know, take those, you know, four or five kind of top eco-factors that we've looked at, and you then put them into play in the diamond diagram, which is a flexible model, a way for you to navigate through life and navigate through shopping. to still uphold your values while you are getting these pieces of clothing that you need for your wardrobe. And one of those would be style, you know, that we really cannot sacrifice on the style because it doesn't make for a sustainable piece of fashion. If it's not stylish, if you don't want to wear it, if it doesn't, you know, uphold your sense of identity, then it's probably not going to get worn and it'll just sit in the back of your closet.
That is so true. I was actually a co-founder of a corporation that was making sustainable products, and we were trying to figure out, well, what it actually is green, and we looked around at this in various ways, and what we discovered was that you can't sell a green product unless, number one, it appeals to the consumer. And so it has to be something that they want to use or they're not going to buy it. That is, and it applies right here. Just as you said, that the first thing that someone's going to look for is, do I feel beautiful when I wear this? Mm-hmm. You know, or do I feel handsome, or does it express my self-expression? And so it's not just about whether it's non-toxic or not, although that's my number one thing. There could be the perfect piece of clothing for me and I will not buy it if it's toxic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I won't buy something non-toxic if it's not right for me to wear. So that style, you're absolutely right.
Well, and what you were saying, you know, that's part of the Wear No Evil system, is that if you're going to subscribe to the Wear No Evil movement and be part of this more conscious consumption, it's not enough to buy something just because it's pretty. You have to have the style factor and then at least one other factor, and that's where the diamond diagram comes into play and helps people navigate the space, is that, you know, at the very least, it has to have style and then one other factor. And in your case, it might be that it's organic or that it uses a low-impact dye. And if it uses two of those, you know, or it uses both of those and it's stylish, then you're operating on a whole different level of conscious consumption. And if you keep operating on that level, as we were talking about before, it really sends a message about what the consumer wants. And I do think that as the population is becoming more educated, these things are becoming more important and also becoming more transparent on the side of the brand.
You know, also, I just want to throw this in. There's so much we could talk about on this subject. I want to say that in my life, for the past 35 years, I really have been committed to natural fibers. I will not wear a synthetic fiber, and I will not wear something that has a permanent press finish. That's like my line. I will wear natural fibers that are not organic. But my preference would be, and anytime I have the option to do this, I take it. My preference would be to have everything organic, everything low impact dye. And the only reason that doesn't happen for me is accessibility and affordability. And, but I want to just make an example of how far I will go. And another option for people is that once I needed to wear an evening gown to an event, and I could not find an evening gown that wasn't synthetic. I couldn't find one at all. Mm-hmm. And so I made my own, and I made just a cotton. I took cotton material, just a plain color, and I just made it a strapless sheath kind of dress. And then I took 100% cotton scrim material for like curtains, and I made just a thing that went on top of a flowing what's it called when you just, you know,
it's like a shawl or a wrap,
like but all the way down the whole length of the dress. So it just had, and so it was just very beautiful, and it was 100% cotton. It cost less than $100 for me to buy this fabric, and I had the most beautiful evening gown, and I bought a beautiful necklace to go with it, and it was very fashionable. I thought I was the most fashionable person there. and so I just want to tell people that just because you don't find something off the rack doesn't mean that you can't make something that reflects your integrity and your style.
And there are, I would also say, you know, where we are right now in the industry and in this kind of movement towards more conscious living, there are a lot of resources that are coming up, and So I'll just name a few, and there are more listed in my book and always on my website where I'm talking about brands continuously because they keep coming. But if you want to shop and you can shop, you can filter by these different eco-credentials that are important to you. You know, you can shop at Modavanti.com, you can shop at Zadie.com or ShopEthica.com. There are a number of these online eco boutiques that are popping up. And, you know, also take a look in your local area, because I know, especially in New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles, there are different eco boutiques, brick and mortar stores that are popping up and that are really subscribing to this sort of conscious consumption.
Yes. Excellent. Well, we have about 3 minutes left. So what would you like to say that you haven't said yet?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's a journey, but I really commend anyone who takes this on. I did it based out of my research. Once I dedicated my dissertation to sustainability and fashion, and when I came out, I just knew too much, and I couldn't go back, and for a little while there, I really struggled, kind of like you said, you know, when you sorted your clothing, and then all of a sudden, you had nothing to wear but your birthday suit, and I can really relate to that. I really struggled for a little while, and I felt like I lost my sense of style and my sense of self, because I was really trying to fit within these confines of 100% sustainable, 100%, you know, environmentally friendly or ethical. And I think the truth is just to, you know, we have to meet the industry where it's at. It's great to support brands that are doing the things that, you know, producing the products in the ways that we want them to. But I also think it's important for us to know that, you know, nothing is 100% right now, and that that's okay. And some is better than none.
It's a very important thing to recognize that the whole industry is in transition. The whole world is in transition. Each of us are in transition. Mm-hmm. And that everything that we can do that's a step in the right direction is worth doing.
Exactly.
And, you know, that we can get very idealistic about things needing to be 100%. But it's, you know, and I know that there are some people who need to have clothing that is just the purest of the pure of the pure. And that clothing needs to be available in order for people who need that to have that. But I also know that any step that we take is worth taking.
Absolutely.
And by taking each step, then I've been watching this for 35 years now, and so I can see that as we take steps as consumers, like when I started, there was no organic cotton anything. Mm-hmm. There was hardly any cotton anything. And so as people started buying cotton, then there started being organic cotton started to be grown. And then as people started making things out of organic cotton, then now we have things that are more stylish out of organic cotton. And we just need to keep moving things forward. Just keep moving forward.
It's true. And just one other thing is that we've talked a lot about organic cotton, which is a great fiber and fabric. It's a little thirsty, and so there are some other fibers that I'd just love to mention, you know, that we, there's pea silk, which doesn't actually harm the insects, so it's peace, as in world peace, pea silk that you can look for. Then, like you mentioned, there's linen, there's jute, there's hemp now that, you know, we weren't able to produce that in this country, but that's we're seeing some movement there, and it's a really great fiber that doesn't
take
a lot of
water. I have
to
interrupt you. Only because if I don't, the end of the show is going to come on and interrupt you anyway. So thank you so much, Greta.
Thank you so much. And good luck.
Thank you. You too. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.